There's just no interruption, Isa. Yes, we say this Shia Le'ilu in Nishmas, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim ben Rabbi Nachim Halevi, Mr. Fred Rosenberg, Zichrono Levracha, who was Nistah on Tes Cheshvan Tov Shin Nun Aleph, and although it was 25 years ago, I do remember him very well, because on those rare occasions when I was very early in Monk's Shul on a weekday morning, he was there before everybody else. And that's what I best remember him as. My grandfather used to say, if the train leaves at 2 o'clock, you make sure you're at the station by 22 or quarter to 2. You don't arrive at 2 o'clock. Well, that was a lesson I learned from him, but it's a very difficult standard to live up to. Today's shiur is Dilemmas of a Chazan. I'm not only dealing with the professional Chazan, but the Shliach Tzibur in general. So anybody here who is asked to daven at the Omud, to be a Shliach Tzibur, these are some practical dilemmas you might come across in your experiences, and I'll perhaps mention a few of my own personal experiences. There are a few people who, when they were told by me that my topic is Dilemmas of a Chazan, the first question they asked me was, are you going to deal with the repeating of words? So I better start with that. I remember Rav Kupa Zatzal was always very particular that the Chazan should not repeat his words in the davening, and we'll have a brief look at that before we look at some other interesting ideas. Certainly there are some chazonim who enjoy repeating their words, or they enjoy their voices, they enjoy hearing their voices very much, or they think they're a chazonim even though they're not chazonim, as you just pointed out. How do we deal with this? I mean, it is quite common for chazonim to use secular tunes. Well, there isn't really such a thing nowadays as Jewish music, is there? But there's nothing wrong with that. I remember how my teacher in school, Mr. Albert Meyer, Zichrono Levracha, used to adapt classical music tunes to make them into Shirei Kodesh. He took the chorus of Hebrew Slaves, I think by Verdi, and he adapted it to Al Naros Bovel in a most beautiful way. But that was a choir song. There's no problem with choirs, but when we're actually in tefillah, we don't repeat the words. Talking about secular tunes, the late Modzitzer Rebbe once said, "Anigun is nishma kabel tumah." You know, if you take a tune and you fancy it and you adapt it to something which you like, there's nothing wrong with it. And I've done this once or twice with Zemiras of Shabbos. So he said, "Anigun is not makabel tumah." That's a halacha. So why not? But Jewish music usually absorbs from other cultures or so-called cultures, and if it's within the spirit of Yiddishkeit, fine. But we're now talking about repeating words. And where do we find sources to say that it's frowned upon? Well, there is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph which talks about Rabbi Akiva, who made sure that whenever he was davening with the Tzibur, he kept his davening as short as possible in time. Why? Because he was worried about Tircha de Tzibura. Tircha de Tzibura means you are causing a bother and a nuisance to the congregants because you are delaying them going home. They're hungry, they want to, you know, get on with it. Okay, that's not to suggest they're gobbling down their words in their davening, but if you're repeating words, there is an idea of Tircha de Tzibura. But when Rabbi Akiva was davening on his own, he took as long as he wanted. He spent a very long time on his Shemona Esra, because then he wasn't bothering anybody else. So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillah, in Perek Vav Halacha Beis, that if you are davening with a tzibur, you should not daven longer than everybody else. This is a general sort of concept. But when you are davening on your own, you can spend so long on it, you can even stick in the vidoy of Yom Kippurim in your davening. Nobody's going to be bothered by it. Good luck to you. So that's the idea of Tircha de Tzibura. Now, the problem is a lot of Balabasim are very keen on this idea of Tircha de Tzibura, even though it's not only a halachic principle, but it's a very practical one. And they often quote it, but it's sometimes quoted out of context. Indeed, in the Piskei Teshuvos in Siman Nun Gimel, he says some Balabasim are very enthusiastic about Tircha de Tzibura, but they have to understand that the average time which one should take on one's Shmona Esra, he says, is approximately 9 minutes, and on Shabbos 6 minutes. And he quotes a Sefer Navreshes, Nivreshes, who says that your average time for your Shemone Esrei should be 11 to 12 minutes. Now, I timed, averaged the, well, how long the chazan's been taking in certain shuls, and this morning the Shliach Tzibur started after approximately 6 minutes, after, I believe, a signal was given by the chazan, by the Rav. The Rav finished before Kedusha, so he took about 7 minutes. But that's well below the 9 minutes or the 12 minutes which is being quoted. But, okay, there is a law of averages. But if you do take as long as 12 minutes when you're the chazan, I think you'll probably get lynched.
Rabbi's not here, sometimes as little as 2 minutes.
No, I don't believe that.
Michael will believe what he wants to believe.
Right, okay, well, there are some people who like chazonos, and they do, you know, a bit of warbling never does any harm, and if they feel spiritually uplifted by it. But if we can look at a couple of Gemaras in Shas, which give us an idea of how to deal with this topic. There's a Gemara in Brachos Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, which says that you may not say the word Shema twice. And it also refers to the word Modim. You don't say it twice. Why? If you say it twice, it might imply that there are Shtei Reshuyos, that you are talking to more than one entity. And of course, Hashem Echod Shema Echod, Hashem is one, and we don't want to say anything which might imply that there is Chas V'Shalom more than one. So that is one idea which is quoted by Poskim, and another idea is in Gemara Sukkah Lamed Ches, he talks about the Pesukim of Hallel, that there are some verses of Hallel which we repeat. Excuse me, Odechok Yani Soni, the Pesukim at the end, you say them twice. On Hashem Oshi or not. So it is as if to imply that whilst those are Pesukim which are said twice, other Pesukim are not to be repeated and therefore should only be said once. So there's the Tshuva of the Maharam Shik who deals with this subject in Orach Chaim Siman Lamed Aleph, and he says that is a proof from the Shema and the Hallel that other things should not be repeated just because we earmark those things. And it's Maguna. It's a shameful thing to start saying things more than once. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they carefully chose the words of the davening to have specific meaning. And if they would have wanted you to say a word repeated, they would have asked you to. But since they don't, you leave everything as it is. And he actually lists 5 reasons why one should not repeat words during the davening. His first reason is baltosis. There is an idea that you don't add on to what you're supposed to already. Not only does that then apply with mitzvahs, like not to sleep in the sukkah on the 8th night and not to have 10 tzitzis threads, you may not add, just like you may not take away. Lo sosifu velo sigru mimenu. So he says by adding on words, and he quotes Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Kaf Ches, where the Kohen who is duchening might want to give an extra bracha to the community because he loves the North Hendon Kehillah so much, he decides to add another bracha. He says that's not allowed. You have to conform to what was prescribed by Chazal. Otherwise, it's baltosif. So you might say to me, well, what if I didn't have the right kavana when I said the word Shema? So I want to repeat it again. I mean, there are Hasidic Rebbes, lots of stories about Rebbes who have such kavana when they say a word and they feel as though they didn't say it properly, so they say it again. They're not intending to repeat words, but it's coming out that way because of their concentration. There may be a source for that, though I haven't really found it. But even if the Maharam Shik says that even if you've got no kavana when you say the first Shema, then it's not really right for you to say it again. That's his view. Because otherwise it'll sound like Shtei Rishuyos. It's a problem because even though, you know, that we say that two mitzvahs need kavana, or of course they need kavana, but if you don't have kavana, have you done your mitzvah? Srichas kavana, in srichas kavana. So when it comes to the Shema, even according to the opinion that mitzvahs don't need kavana, you still need kavana for the Shema, because otherwise it's as if you haven't said it at all. So the second reason of the Maharam Shik is Dovesh Akorim. You may be telling lies by repeating words. And the example he gives is in Kedusha. And Kedusha is a favorite for the Chazanim. They just love repeating words there. And we say in the Kedusha, Keshem Shemat Dishim Osobi Shemei Moro. So we are saying in the way that the angels are saying it. and the angels say it in the manner of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So if you start singing Kadosh 10 times, that will not be in the way that the angels do it. So you will be actually committing perjury, lying to the effect that that is not the way that the angels say it. The third reason given by the Maharam Shik is that it constitutes a hefsek, an interruption. And this is in Arachaim, Ksim and Kuftalet, Sifhei, that, for example, if when you're davening you pause in the middle of a posuk with enough time to finish that posuk, then that's already called a hefsek. So if you are repeating words, and you do get chazonim, you repeat certain phrases over and over again in a very nice warbling way, but nevertheless, that is a hefsek and should not be done. A fourth idea he brings is from a Taz. Yes?
Something like Hashirena, if you repeat the whole pasuk, Hashirena, Shimon, Lechon, Shuva, Lechon, I finish what I'm saying. It's also per Tehillim.
It is true that you're saying a full pasuk, but nevertheless, under this Hallel principle, where you are repeating some pasukim, but then you're not repeating others, and the implication of that is it's okay to double up in the Hallel, but everything else then should not be repeated, because it might be giving undue emphasis of some sort. So it's not simply the fact that you might be doing half a pasuk. It's also the fact that you are not saying the words in accordance with the Takanas Chazal Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So there are various words we might be saying twice. The Aruch HaShulchan tries to give justification.
Before you move on,
yes,
I want to ask Rabbi Tedden the following: when you say Hallel,
yes,
and let's say you say said the same Israel, and then the Baal Philip starts singing it. If you sing it with him, you are repeating.
You're saying it again.
Yeah, and the Gemara says quite clearly we don't repeat where nobody else repeats. But his answer was Enochinami. And when it comes to him, he only hums the words.
Oh, right. We have discussed in the past how strong Minhogim can be, and there are times when a Minhog might even clash with a Halacha, but it still carries on. In this particular instance, the Aruch HaShulchan tries to be Melamed Zechus on Klal Yisrael, because he speaks about repeating words in Siman Shin Lamed Ches, and then Siman Ches or Siftes. He says, I'm very bothered about this, but it's very hard to rebuke people. He says, V'ulai ain't issur b'zeh. Perhaps there is no real issur in it. And he talks about Onik Shabbos, and he's trying to find an excuse to give justification to this practice. But he is a lonesome voice on this, I'm afraid. Although Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe, he doesn't come out with the words osur, but he says in Chelek Beis Siman Chof Beis, he says, Ein ruach hachomim nocheh menu. When a chazan is repeating words, he says, I can't really say it's a proper isor as such, but it doesn't make any sense when you're doing it, and it's frowned upon. That's his view. The Maharam Shik is all out against, and he gives his 5 reasons. So his fourth reason is the Taz in Siman Tov Kuf Samach Sifhei, and he says the Taz Makatreks Hakadosh Baruch Hu, saying your children are just turning me into a song or a fairy tale song, and that is not dignified for the Torah to do. And then he says there's a fifth reason, and that is, how would you address the ruler of your country if you go to David Cameron, the Prime Minister, and you want to ask him for a favour? Would you say it in the way, please, please, Mr. Cameron, please, Mr. Cameron, please, 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 would you do me a favour, could you please reduce the tax amounts?
Yes, please.
Tax amounts. Yes, please. Please, listen. You know, you'd be chucked out of 10 Downing Street, and he says you're making a mockery of the tefillahs. Pardon?
You wouldn't sing.
You wouldn't sing it either. But certainly in the tune of, alright. We won't say what. It's true that when you look at some of the tunes which are used to the words, and you look at the davening, especially on the rhyme, you know, serious stuff, when we're talking about Chosotzi, Yovisi, Poshati, and I've sinned, and Ki Ein Bonu Masim, and we're singing tunes to this. It can sound a bit odd, yes, especially if the tunes are a bit churchy. But, you know, okay, it's a choice. And Chazonim, you know, they've got their job to do, they're paid for the job, but the Maram Shik says, you know, it's got to sound sensible. And if you're repeating these words, you wouldn't talk like that in everyday language. Alright, unless one is stuttering. And the Yabia Omer Rav of Gazi Yosef writes in his Chelek Zayin Siman Yud Dalet, he says, some chazonim are just making simple concerts out of the davening, and they're not really having in mind what the purpose of that prayer is and what the kavana of that prayer is, and it's making a mockery of the davening. So that's his view. We've spoken about Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes that because of the idea of hefsek with the repeating of words, he says, if they are repeating words in a brocha, you can't say amen to that brocha, because it's as if that brocha wasn't properly said. So there it is. Best not to repeat the words, but there are one or two sources which are melamed zechus on Klal Yisrael that we're not going to sack the chazan if he does it, but it does seem appropriate to give him a gentle, persuasive reminder. So that's the subject of repeating words. Yes?
Elongating words.
You
twiddle.
Give some examples.
Yeah, alright. Well, we can start with practical examples if you want. It doesn't say anything, as far as I can find, about elongated words. Certainly the pronunciation should be right. Mil el, mil ra. But otherwise, if they are drawn out, there is nothing to suggest that those would be called a hefsek. I haven't found anything of that. It's true. You wouldn't address the Prime Minister by that. It's true. I agree.
And also, Ramin in Kaddish, if you draw that out, then
yes, there is a problem of Amin Yisoma. We're going to deal in a moment with Amin Chatufa. Yeah. So common sense prevails, or should prevail, in these instances. I mean, I do love a bit of chazonus myself, and Uvenu Chayomar is often done with repeated phrases, although Chadish Omeinu Kedim is right at the end, so you've already finished it off, so it wouldn't matter so much. But I just love hearing Chazan Shimon Cohen on YouTube singing Rosenblatt's Uvenu Chayomar. It's a masterpiece, it's brilliant, but the number of words which are repeated over and over again, you would wonder whether, you know, he's just trying to get a certain message across, but it all fits in with a tune, and that's the idea. The tune should really fit in with the words and not the other way around. And sometimes the chazan's nigunim could encourage people to do an Omein Chatufo. And the classic example I found on this is on Yom Tov, because the Yom Tov Nusach is Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim, or it's the Hazmani, or Milel Milra. And when he starts saying Zema, everyone starts singing the Omein. Omein. So people are finishing their Omein just at the same time as when the Chazan is finishing his Bracha. Well, that's not an Omein. It's called an Omein Chatufo. And great care must be taken to avoid this. And you hear this all the time, okay, ha-kodosh. And at this time I'm saying kodosh, everyone's saying omein. So I've heard in the yeshiva world, they make it a bit unmusical. They go, okay, ha-kodosh, just to catch you and stop you doing your omein chatufa. But it's not very musical, and I've wondered often how one can actually do this. I thought of doing Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. And then everyone will go, oh, man. And then you haven't got this dilemma. But it still doesn't quite sound so right. But I'll leave it to the experts to sort out. So this is a Siman Kuf Chaf Dalad, Sif Ches, problems of Omein Chatufo. Mishnah Berurah talks about it in Sifkot and Lamud. And sometimes you get even people saying Tachanun, they start their Tachanun at the end of Chazaras HaShat. They've already got their heads on their hands when the chazan is still saying Hamavarecha Sama Yisrael Bashalom. Because he might be late in the Shalom, and their Omein is beforehand. And if you record with your voice recorder the Tzibur when they're saying their Omein generally to the chazan's Shmone Esra, his Chasaras HaShat, you'll often hear the Omein coming too early, and it's very important to be careful to say Omein after the brachas have finished.
With Kaddish, at the end of Kaddish, you use the Omein, and then, so is the Omein supposed to be said after the
It is. I think it's more correct to say Vimru Amen, and then everyone goes Amen, rather than Vimru, and then everyone says together like a choir Amen. So it is correct for the Chazan to say Amen, and then everybody else then says Amen.
Because the Chazan is really saying Amen on what is said. I mean,
the
sister
was
saying Amen to the...
Yes, that's right.
Instructions.
Yes, so the Imru Amen comes first, and then there comes the Amen of the Tzibur. But you hear it very often where everybody's doing Amen together, and that is not correctly done. Well, what are the dilemmas of a chazan? So I was once an Ovel... when I was Ovel for my father, and I was away on business, and I davened in a provincial synagogue, and I told the Gabba before we started that I was an Ovel, and without actually asking for the Ovel, he gave it to me. So I was about to start, and I just said to him, I haven't davened here before, what's your average speed? So he said 25 minutes. I said, oh right, 25 minutes up to the Shemen Esra, fine, that's the same as... Oh no, he said 25 minutes to the end of Shacharis. Pardon? He said, no, after the Shemen Esra and Ashrei Avolot Tzion Aleinu, 25 minutes. And I looked at him and I thought, how on earth am I going to achieve that? And then I thought to myself, well, I'm only a guest here, so if I do spend a bit longer, they're not going to kick me out because I won't be here a second time anyway. So I just took my own pace, but I don't think it's physically possible to say every word properly. Counting words like your count, or saying words like the counting of money, says the Maharam of Mintz. Not Murray Mintz, the Maharam of Mintz. He says that when you say your words in davening, it should be like you're counting money. One, two, three. Each word is identifiable and not conjoined with the next. Well, I managed to do it for my standards fairly quickly, but I still think it took about 33 or 34 minutes, and the Gabba just grunted and walked off, and I shrugged my shoulders. Look, you know, I can't do miracles. But if you are in a tzibur, even if you are an Ovel, you're a Chiyuv, and you want to daven at the Omud, if you know that what they expect of you is impossible, then you should decline it and say, I'm not davening at the Omud, and you just daven at your own pace. That is the psak given by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Halicha Shlomo in Simen Yud Ches, Sif Chof Dalet. He says, don't take the Omud. It's just not, you know, it's not worth it. What's the point? The prayer will not be accepted. It's not covered to Hashem if you're not able to say the words properly. And
can I ask you, could one do the short shorter
Well, that is a bidyeved. The Chazal were masak in the idea of a quiet Shemona Esra followed by a repeated Shemona Esra. The Rambam explains it gives the Chazan time to prepare himself as well, to enable those who are not Yotso or not who don't know how to say Shemona Esra to do the Chazor Hashatz. And according to the Rambam, the Chazor Hashatz is the Ikat Tfilah B'Tzibur. The important Tfilah B'Tzibur is not the quiet one, but the repetition, which is a Chiddush. And I saw one Gabba going around once with a Mashulach collecting money, asking people, because the Mashulach thought we'd get more money if the Gabba comes around with him. And I told afterwards the Gabba, I said, you know, according to the Rambam, Tfilah B'Tzibur is the repetition. And he shrugged and said, I don't have a problem with that. But there is a problem with that.
It's brought in by Rav Avadia that there was a shul where they used to do a Achicha Kedusha for Musaf.
Yes.
And he said that it should be Mavatil that minhag forthwith and not continue with it, and he gave them a bracha afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah, but
the general heter.
But Rabbi Cooper was frowned on when they did that before Sopo or something like that.
The general heter of Achicha Kedusha is, let's say you've got a short break from your employment in your offices to do mincha, which is very nice of the employers to give you time or space to do it, and it will infringe on your employer's time in which you are being paid to be working for your employer, then you do not do it at your employer's expense. You will do a Hekha Kedusha in order to get back to your office seat promptly. We will advertise EasyJet, who actually announced on the loudspeaker that prayers are beginning to take place, and in contrast with certain other airlines who just want you to sit down. Yes.
Well, what would be the case if you're running out of time? If you haven't got a minion and you're waiting for a minion and the time is getting...
Yeah, this is it. The Shas Hadachak, that is the general concept of Hekir Kedusha. Shas Hadachak is emergency, or you know, you want your Makbita Tavendor or Shkia, so you want to get it in quickly. Yeah, there are these Heterim for it.
About Hakaras Hatov, maybe? Would that be a valid Heter for doing it?
Hakaras Hatov?
Yeah.
In what respect?
Well, so, a few of us went to see Louis on Cholomoed in hospital, and we made a minion to make a Davamenta. And I felt it was seen as a Hakaras Hatov, because it was very difficult for Louis to be up and about and moving. Also, it was quite disruptive for us to be taking over the hospital.
Yeah, I think... I'm not giving a psak now. Personal queries must be addressed to the Kehillarov, but those are the sorts of circumstances, Pshat HaDachak, where it's causing discomfort to others, it's causing a nuisance to others, and so you want to perhaps finish as promptly as possible. That's the general idea. But in general terms, though, we're talking about quick services. People have to understand that if they're saying their Shema and they are joining up words like Al Levovecho instead of Al Levovecho, Va'avadatem Mehero, it's Va'avadatem Mehero, or even V'nosati Esev Besodecho. Often the base is joined. You've got to realize you're not Yotze your Kriyas Shema if you're cutting out letters, and when people are gobbling it down, they're cutting out words as well. They might even be cutting out paragraphs, but the idea is that if people think they have to be quick, and one gabba once told me in a certain shul, here we have to be quick. So I said to him, yeah, but what do we do to make sure that Hashem accepts our prayers? And he didn't answer me. So, as I said, the Mara Mintzi says, Ki'ilu monomos, v'lo k'miksas chazonim asher yorutsu b'fiem. He criticizes the chazonim not for warbling or schlepping things out. He criticizes the chazonim for actually rushing with their words and gobbling things down. And the Sefer Mezakeh Rabim says that when you daven, it's in place of a korban. You're bringing an offering, and an offering mustn't have a mum on it. It mustn't have a blemish. So in the same way, our davening should not have a blemish. And the Shari Tshuva writes in Siman Nun Beis that if you can't keep up with a tzibur, it's better to just go at your own speed. Hashem knows what is in a person's heart. Well, when we're talking then about the speed of davening, sometimes the Rav of the shul or some other dignitary who is visiting is taking a very long time over the Shmone Esrei. So what is the dilemma of the chazan? When do I start? Can I start without him, or would it be disrespectful? So the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet Sifkat Zayin, Negu Lahamtin, the practice is that we wait for the Rav or the Av Beis Din to finish his Shmona Esra. And in particular, there is this idea that the Rav might be saying additional tefillahs because he has asked by his congregants to say prayers for sick people. So he may be mentioning all these names for the sick people. So the Rav might automatically take longer than others. So it is the right thing to do to wait for the Rav. Alright, the Ramo in Kuf Chaf Dalet seems to be saying, and the Mishnah Berurah there says that if the Rav is unduly long, you needn't really wait. We're still worried about this idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur, of keeping people waiting, which we must not do. But Tichon Tzibura, I mean, to understand how important this concept is, it says that when you're called up to the Sefer Torah and you have an Aliyah, yeah, before you make your bracha, you don't close the Sefer Torah. Why? Tircha de Tzibura. Now, how long, for goodness sake, does it take to close your Sefer Torah? Half a second. But we say you don't close it, you keep it open. And so when you say your bracha, you close your eyes to show you're not reading from the Sefer Torah. You might turn your head a bit to the right. You're not reading from the Sefer Torah, but you'll keep it open. And if I'm laning, I like it when people keep it open, because I keep the yad on the place, otherwise I lose the place. And if you're in the middle of a paragraph somewhere, then you open up the Sefer Torah and you think, goodness, where was I? And I don't know where the place is.
Is that not part of what Tichon Tzibura might be? In fact, it's not part of Kriyos.
You're right, that is also Tichon Tzibura, because I've got to then find the place afterwards. So I keep the yad on it, where I know I'm meant to start, and then I can go ahead with a bang. So Tichon Tzibura is very important. And But Rabbi Akiva Eger says that even if the Rav says, don't wait for me, then you should really still wait for him. But often the Rav will know that people are waiting, and he knows when he's coming to the end, and he'll make it in time for Kedusha, and he'll usually give some sort of signal to the Shliach Tibor to get him to start. But what if you've got some guest dignitary, like a Rosh Yeshiva comes to town and he's davening at the very front row and you feel it's respectful to wait for him? The halacha is you don't wait for him. The Ramah writes this, we don't wait for even Chashuvei Ha'ir because it's Tircha D'Tzibura. You know, some of them might be taking a very long time, and as we spoke before, about 12 minutes, when the average might be only 6 minutes. I've been in some shuls where I've timed sometimes the chazan starts after 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So, well... yeah. It is not the halacha to wait for him. If you want to give special respect, then you don't think he'll be unduly long. The question is, how long does a chazan wait? The halacha is a chazan should wait when Rov HaTzibur has finished. And b'dieved, if 9 people are already finished, then one can start. But l'chila, it's when 51% have already finished. Some shuls have a rule about it, you know, start after X number of minutes. There's one shul in Golders Green which actually has a sign on how long you should take to your shtabach and how long you should take to. Oh, you got one as well?
Right.
Fine. Okay, so about a year or so ago, I was once asked to lead some davening in a shiva house, and it was one of these unfortunate shivas where they were only sitting for an hour and a half, not for the full week, where the people there were not particularly observant, and I was asked to lead the davening, and I looked behind me, and we were just 10 people, and I wasn't sure even if one or two of the men were Jewish, so I wasn't even sure if there was a proper minyan. What do I do? Alright, on the balance of probabilities, okay, they were Jewish, so I'd say the Kaddish, but can I say Chazoras Hashatz? Can I repeat? I've got a real dilemma as the chazan here, because if I repeat the Shemona Esra and people are not answering Amen, and this might even happen in some Orthodox circles, can I say legitimately my Chazoras Hashatz? Now, the Shevet Halevi says in Chelek Aleph Siman Chof, look, if the majority are known to be observant, you can start a minyan off with 10 people, and we're not suggesting that anyone there is a mechalel Shabbos pafahesia. If anyone is breaking Shabbos openly lahachis, that is somebody who is disqualified from being part of a minyan. But if there's somebody there who we'll call tinok shenishba, person grew up in a non-frum environment, he doesn't know better, but he's respectful and he's taking part, you can count him into the minyan. But it's a problem. Do I say my chazoras hashatz or not? Well, the Shulchan Aruch says that in Kuf Chavdalos, your test, that if a person is saying Chazoras Hashatz and he hasn't got 9 people answering Amen, then it's Korav Liyos Brocha Levatolo. He doesn't actually say it's a wasted brocha, a brocha Levatolo, but it's Korav Liyos. It's close to. And I once knew a fellow in Yeshiva, who I asked him, why didn't you ever daven at the Omos? He said, I don't want to risk ever saying a brocha levatolo and I'm never davening at the Omud. Well, that's an extreme approach, because what does the Gabbah do if nobody's going to daven at the Omud? We're going to discuss this a bit later. But if the Gabbah asks you to daven and you're able to daven, then you should daven. So, and it doesn't say it's a brocha levatolo, it's a krov lios brocha levatolo. Well, there are a couple of solutions here. Number one, you can make a tanai in your mind, you can make a condition that if 9 people do not answer me Omein, then my chazaras hashatz will be a korban nadovo. There is such a thing, just like you can bring an extra korban, an offering in the temple, so you can bring an extra Shemona Esra, so it's a korban nadova. But korban nadova doesn't apply on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So what do you do then? Well, what I did at that shiva was, when everybody was saying their Shemona Esra, assuming they were saying it, I kept quiet. I just didn't say mine. So that my own Shemona Esra was the repetition. So I said that aloud, and then I had no risk of Brocha L'Atola, no risk of anything else, that I was going against Takana Chazal if there wasn't a proper minion, and there is a source for that as well. One just omits one's quiet Shemona Esra.
And then the others wouldn't have had a celibate symbol because they didn't have a minion davening.
Ah, you mean I deprived them? Yeah. Well, I could physically see that one or two of them were not davening at all. Although you're really the Dievid, you only need six to be davening, I suppose. But I took the view, as it were, that this was an environment where I think I was the only Shomer Shabbos present. If I'm a Shomer Shabbos, that is. But I try. So that is the general halacha. All right, another dilemma of the chazan. He turns around, he's got his minion, but he sees that somebody's fallen asleep. What's the halacha there? Now, you know, So there is the Mishnah Berurah talks about Siman Nun Hay and Lamed Beis, but the evidence is okay if one person has fallen asleep, but one seems to be a maximum. If I'm giving a shiur, there's no maximum. You can all fall asleep. But when it comes to davening, if the chazan is davening and one person is nodding off, but the chachila wants to try and wake up the person and make sure that he's taking part. But the chazan hasn't got to check up that everybody is wide awake, so it says Piskei Shuvos. What if a person comes in and he's stone drunk, and it's quite clear that he's drunk, then he should not be counted into the minyan. Mishnah Berurah in Sadi Tes Yud. What if the chazan has the dilemma, he's asked to take the omud, but he can't pronounce the letters or words properly, then he should not take the omud. What if his singing is bad? What if his tune is not liked by the tzibur? Well, it's not a reason to disqualify him. I was in a certain shul once where I was saying Kaddish regularly and davening at the omud, and there was one other person at the same time who was singing his davening in such a way on a weekday that he didn't like it. And they didn't like it, so they stopped asking him to daven, and that upset me considerably, and I got together with the other Avelim and we threatened the Gubba that if you disqualify this person, then we will all go on strike. And what we did was we sat down with this person and just explained to him what is the sort of niggun to do. Just do it yeshivish, you know, with a monotonous tone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then everybody likes it. Alright, so anyway, Aruch HaShulchan is quite lenient on this, because nowadays he says anyone can really take the omud. Chazonim have other dilemmas like losing their voice or having to go to the toilet. We won't deal with that now, but there's often the common sense approach. Once I was davening at the Omud in Yeshiva, I was being asked frequently to do Shacharis on Shabbos, like every 2 or 3 weeks. It bothered me, and the reason why it bothered me, because there was an American guy who wanted a daven at the Omud, and he loved to warble and he loved to sing, but they never asked him. So he came up to me and he said, "Do you think you could let me take over?" And I said to him, "Well, you know, it's not up to me, it's up to the Gubba, and it's up to the, you speak to the Gubba." So I did ask a Shaila if there's any question of Ein Hora, because he's jealous of me that I'm davening at the Omud and he's never davening at the Omud. So I was told by the Rav, you don't have to worry about Ein Hora. If the Gubba asks you to daven and you're able to daven, then you daven. What if I don't want to daven for some reason? And once it happened to me that the Gubba of the shul came up to me and asked me to daven Mincha on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you really got to get it right then. And it's a difficult time, you're fasting, of course. And for personal reasons, I said, no, I'm sorry. And I even laughed when he said to me, Mincha and Yom Kippur. But he wasn't going to give up. He was a very persistent Gubba. And he came to me a further day, and he asked me again, and I said, no, I'm sorry. The halacha generally is that first time you decline, second time you aman ha, and on the third time you say yes. So it's to show that you're not being... a person of gaiva, but you have some humility. The Gemara Lamed Daled talks about a person who is compared to food without salt if he jumps to it, but if he refuses too much, he is oversalted. But I felt that it was not for me to daven Mincha and Yom Kippur. He phoned me up the third time in working hours, and he asked me the third time, and I said to him, "You're asking me the third time, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said to him, "Well, in that case, I'm going to ask the Rav." And I phoned up the Rav, and I said, "You know, I just don't feel up to it, blah, blah, blah." So the Rav said, "No, of course you don't feel up to it. You don't have to." So then I phoned him back, and I said, "I don't have to. Ask the Rav." And you know what he said to me? I couldn't believe my ears. He said to me, there is a midrash about Novos, or people call Navot. Novos was the man who owned a vineyard at the time of the wicked King Achov, who had this really wicked wife, Izevel. And Achov wanted his vineyard, and Izevel said, you know, give him a trumped up charge and take it away from him. And Achov was put to death, and so on. So the midrash asked... Novos was put to death by Achov. And the Medrash says that the reason why Novos was put to death was because he had a very good voice and he used to lead Klal Yisrael when it was Ole L'Regel time, and going to Shlaim, and he led the singing, and people flocked to his singing. He had such a good voice. And because one year he said, no, I'm not going to do it, that's why he died. I said to this gubber, you know, is this a death threat or something? I thought his tactics were perhaps a little bit unprofessional. Well, notwithstanding what happened to Novos, I still declined. Baruch Hashem, I'm still here. Sadly, that gubber is no longer here. I won't suggest why, but he was a very righteous fellow, don't get me wrong. But when you look at the Medrash, which I did in Yalkut Shimoni, very interesting Medrash, it seems to say that his punishment was really because he was declining Ole L'Regel. Because the Pasuk says, with Ole L'Regel, V'lo yachmod ish esartzcho ba'aloscho. You shouldn't be worried that when you go on Ole L'Regel, your house isn't safe, because you'll create ghost towns. Everybody's going off to Yerushalayim. Don't be worried, Hashem will protect you. So he was over the Isra of lo yachmod. So that's what seems to be the emphasis, but there are other sources which seem to say it was because he declined the singing when he was able to. Alright, that's the story of Novos. Just quick time for another story. I was once, when I was over starting at the Omud Ashrei Mincha time, and I was finishing off the Ashrei and about to start the Kaddish when a big burly man walks in and says, I've got Yahrzeit today. So, well, I've already started, you know, I'm about to start the Kaddish, you know, what do I do? Alright, I wasn't on the Yahrzeit, I was in my 11 months, but he insisted that he takes the Omud. What is the halacha? Do I give it to him or not? He wasn't a member, by the way, of that synagogue, and I was. Well, I stood aside. Pardon? I stood aside and I thought, I don't need machlokas, what do I care? I let him down. And somebody came up to me after and said, pardon?
You were wrong.
Well, somebody came up to me after and said, you had no right to be mochel him. You were letting down your father. Because it was your father's achus that you were davening at the Omud. I asked the Shiloh about this. The Shalosh Shuvos, the Chasam Sofer, Yerodei Shum Mem Hei, he says, whoever takes the Omud and is not entitled to it or does it by force, he doesn't gain, and the person who steps aside to let him take it does not lose. Quarrels desecrate.
So the super told me, and I had this situation.
Yes.
Somebody came in here and he said, so and so has just arrived and he's got Yahrzeit. So I went to Rabbi Kuba, I said, I'm an Omud, and so Rabbi Kuba said, that is why people pay membership. Yeah. That they have rights to the Omud. Yeah, and he said, decline. He said, you've got the right and you've got the responsibility to your late father or mother.
Oh, Shkoyach. I didn't know that story, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought I knew lots of.
I still remember who the person was.
Right.
But
okay, I stood aside, and the spur of the moment, yeah. You're not thinking, you know, is he a member, should I, shouldn't I? He's got, you know, look, I don't want machlokas. Just to tell you a little story, which I might have told you once before. I was once in a Lubavitch house for a Sheva Brochus, and we were davening Maariv, and I realized as we were about to start the Shemona Esra that we were facing a picture of a very famous learned tzaddik, and I felt that it was not right to daven to this picture. There's a halacha, you don't daven to such pictures. So I went up to this picture of the Lubavitch Rebbe and I turned it round. And I heard people going, no, 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 no. So that was it. And then I davened the Shemona Esra. And afterwards, well, there was a little bit of an earthquake. One person even told me that I was Chayav Misa. We're into these death threats again. I don't know why, but I seem to be magnetized towards them. And it was a very unsavory affair which was happening, unfortunately, at a Sheva Brochus. So I asked my Rosh Yeshiva afterwards, you know, did I do the wrong thing? You're not allowed, and it's quite clearly set out in Halacha, you don't daven to such a picture. So the Rosh Yeshiva said to me, even if you're right, and he says, you're right, you don't daven to such a picture, you mustn't do anything which can start a machlokas. Because that is something which is so repugnant in Hashem's eyes that if there's machlokas, and if you step aside to avoid that machlokas, you get all the zechusim. And the other person who is really in the wrong, they don't get anything out of it. So quarrels desecrate. Let's keep that as a general principle,
sorry,
that one should...
Sorry to interrupt. Was the teacher above eye level or eye level? It was higher than eye level.
It was definitely at eye level, yeah. It was a very large picture, which took up half the wall, actually.
So,
that's what my Rosh Yeshiva said to me. He said, face in a different direction. Don't make any machlokes, don't touch anything. If you think it'll upset people, just face a different way and do your davening, and that's good enough. Hashem will still accept your prayers. So that's the general idea which we should take with us for all walks of life. Let's try and avoid machlokes. Machlokes, if it's Lashem Shemaim, is a good thing, but in this case, I don't think it would be called Lashem Shemaim.
Talking about home, try and avoid facing photographs or pictures.
Yeah.
Or mirror, or glass.
Yeah.
How do you learn a rash?
Yeah, well, that's the halacha in itself. But the halacha we're talking about in addition to that is let's always try and avoid machlokes. I'll take... Yes?
Your example would be in the Baal Shul. Quite often in shiva houses.
Yes, often it's in shiva houses. Yeah.
You have 100 people in a room.
Yeah.
A picture right in front of you.
And there, you certainly don't want to upset anybody because it's a very sensitive time. You're in a shiva house. So you're davening in a different direction and that's good enough. Shkoya, thank you very much. So those are the messages we can take with us. There are probably other issues which are dilemmas of a chazan, but these generally evolve around my own personal experiences, which I was able to share with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Not for me, but for the